Hello, I'm Pastor Steve. You're listening to EuroFolkRadio.com, a voice for European people worldwide. We're privileged to bring you the Christian identity message to all the dispersed children of Israel, wherever they might be. We bring you news, political discussion, health information, and a little humor thrown in. We are glad that you could join us, and may Yahweh bless and keep you. Praise Yahweh! Psalm number 2, concerning the Anointed One. Why do the nations rage, and the people imagine a vain thing? The kings of the land set themselves, and the rulers take counsel together against Yahweh and against His Anointed. Let us break their bands asunder and cast away their cords from us. He that sits in the sky shall laugh. Yahweh shall have them in derision. Then shall he speak unto them in his wrath and vex them in his sore displeasure. Yet have I set my king upon my holy hill of Zion. I will declare the decree. Yahweh has said unto me, Thou art my son, this day I have begotten thee. Ask of me, and I shall give you the nations for your inheritance, and the uttermost parts of the land for thy possession. You shall break them with a rod of iron. You shall dash them in pieces like a potter's vessel. Be wise now, therefore, O ye kings. Be instructed, you rulers of the earth. Serve Yahweh with fear and rejoice with trembling. Kiss the Son, lest he be angry and you perish from the way, when his wrath is kindled but a little. Blessed are all they that take refuge in him.
Onward, Christian soldiers, marching as to war, with the cross of Jesus going on before. Christ the royal master leads against the foe.
Ah, yes, shalom aleichem to all my pure-blooded, white, Christian, Israelite brothers and sisters out there. I'm Pastor Steve. The show is Word for Word. And this show is for the 19th of March, 2018, the 358th Word for Word show. We are in the book of Jasher, Sefer Hayashar. That's the scroll of the upright. And we're going to be beginning in chapter 68 today. It's a short. We're going to probably do 68, 69, and 70 because they're short. We've been going through some very long ones.
and all the battles and all the stuff that went on in the land of Egypt, etc., etc., with the Edomites and all the other ites that they were fighting. So let's get started right here. When I give my website, all my shows are there for download or listening. There's no interaction on the site because I don't want trolling. I don't want a lot of, no chat or any of that. There's plenty of that all over the place. But not on my site because it's just for listening and learning. It's HTTPS as in sugar, :// www.pastor, Pastor-Steve, S-T-E-V-E, .com. So if you want to download stuff or listen to stuff, it's there. It's got links to a lot of other two seed line sites. I am strictly a two seed liner, and that's how it is. Let's get started in chapter 68 of the book of Jasher, verse 1. And it was at that time the spirit of Yah was upon Miriam, the daughter of Amram, the sister of Aharon, and she went forth and prophesied about the house, saying, Behold, a son will be born unto us from my father and mother this time, and he will save Israel from the hands of Mitzrayim. Now, what she's speaking about here, she's speaking about Moshe, the birth of Moshe. And this is going to be another time of intense activity, this whole life of Moshe, favorite of Yahweh. Verse 2, And when Amram heard the words of his daughter, he went and took his wife back to the house after he had driven her away at the time when Pharaoh ordered every male child of the house of Jacob to be thrown into the water. He sent her away so he wouldn't get her pregnant and then the child be born and then they'd kill it. Well, he heard this prophecy and things changed. So Amram took Jochebed, his wife, 3 years after he had driven her away, and he came to her, and she conceived. Boom. Verse 4. And at the end of 7 months from her conception, she brought forth a son. 7 months. Okay. That's what it says here. And the whole house was filled with great light, as of the light of the sun and moon at the time of their shining. Now, that's Yahweh's hand right there. Verse 5, and you can reference Exodus chapter 2, verse 2. And when the woman saw the child, that it was good and pleasing to the sight, she hid it for 3 months in an inner room. Verse 6. In those days, the Mitzrayim conspired to destroy all the Hebrews there. Verse 7. And the Mitzri women went to Goshen, where the children of Israel were, and they carried their young ones upon their shoulders, their babes who could not yet speak. Verse 8. And in those days, when the women of the children of Israel brought forth, and each woman had hidden her son from before the Mitzrayim, that the Mitzrayim might not know of their bringing forth, and might not destroy them from the land. And the Mitzri women came to Goshen, and their children who could not speak were upon their shoulders. And when a Mitzri came into the house of a Hebrew, her babe began to cry. Verse 10. And when it cried, the child that was in the inner room answered it. So the Mitzri women went and told it at the house of Pharaoh. They were doing that, in other words, to find the children. This is wickedness, okay? Verse 11, and Pharaoh sent his officers to take the children and slay them. Thus did the Mitzrayim to the Hebrew women all the days. And it was at that time, about 3 months from Jochebed's concealment of her son, that the thing was known in Pharaoh's house. And the woman hastened to take away her son before the officers came, and she took for him an ark of bulrushes and daubed it with slime and with pitch, and put the child in it, and she laid it in the flags by the river's brink. And you can reference Exodus chapter 2, verse 3 on that. Verse 14, and his sister Miriam stood afar off to know what would be done to him and what would become of her words of prophecy that she had uttered. Verse 15, and Yah sent forth at that time a terrible heat in the land of Mitzrayim, which burned up the flesh of man like the sun in his circuit, and it greatly oppressed the Mitzrayim. Verse 16. And all the Mitzrayim went down to bathe in the river on account of the consuming heat which burned up their flesh. Here's verse 17, and you can reference Exodus 2, verse 5. And Bathia, the daughter of Pharaoh, went also to bathe in the river, owing to the consuming heat. And her maidens walked at the river side, and all the women of Mitzrayim as well. Verse 18. And Bathia lifted up her eyes to the river, and she saw the ark upon the water, and sent her maid to fetch it. Verse 19. And she opened it, and saw the child, and behold, the babe wept, and she had compassion on him. And she said, this is one of the Hebrew children. Well, she was right. It was. And all the women of Mitzrayim walking on the riverside desired to give him suck. But he would not suck, for this thing was from Yahweh, in order to restore him to his mother's breast. Verse 21. And Miriam, his sister, was at that time amongst the Mitzri women, That's the female gender of Mitzrayim. Okay, Mitzri. Mitzrith. At the river. And she saw this thing, and she said to Paro's daughter, "Shall I go and fetch a nurse of the Hebrew women, that she may nurse the child for you?" Verse 22, "And Paro's daughter said to her, 'Go.' And the young woman went and called the child's mother." Verse 23, "And Paro's daughter said to Jochebed, 'Take this child away and suckle it for me, and I will pay you your wages, 2 bits of silver daily.' And the woman took the child and nursed it." So she got paid for nursing her own baby. Verse 24, "And at the end of 2 years, when the child grew up, she brought him to the daughter of Parao, and he was unto her as a son, and she called his name Moshe, for she said, 'Because I drew him out of the water.'" And Moshe means to draw out. Okay? And you can reference Exodus chapter 2, verse 10 on that. Verse 25, "And Amram, his father, called his name Chabar, for he said, 'It was for him that he associated with his wife, whom he had turned away.'" So he had two names, and Moshe is the one that stuck. Okay? Verse 26, "And Jochebed, his mother, called his name Yekuliel, because she said, 'I had hoped for him to the Almighty, and Yah restored him unto me.'" That's restored of God. Okay? So that's three names, but Moshe is the name that stuck because he was given the name by Paro's daughter. Verse 27, "And Miriam, his sister, called him Yered, for she descended after him to the river to know what his end would be." So that's four names. Verse 28, "And Aharon, his brother, called his name Abizanuk, saying, 'My father left my mother and returned to her on this account.'" So that's another name. Verse 29, "And Kehath, the father of Amram, called his name Abigdor, because on his account did Yah repair the breach of the house of Yaakov, that they could no longer throw their male children into the water." Another name. "And their nurse called him Abisoko, saying, 'In his tabernacle,'" "was he hidden for 3 months on account of the children of Ham." Now the notes here say these different names arise from a rabbinical torture of a genealogical account in 1 Chronicles, which has nothing to do with the birth of Moshe. Only a woman's name, Batia, daughter of Parao, whom Mered took, and by a similarity of name to the great Parao, king of Egypt. As if no private person could be called so, they imagined it must have been Moshe, the adopted son of King Parao's daughter. The same story is in the Talmud. So this has been tampered with right here. All these names. So I'm reading what's in Yasher. They got to a lot of books. Okay. And messed with them. Verse 31. Now the children of Ham were the Hamites. Those were Mitzrayim. Because Mitzrayim was a son of Ham. Okay. Verse 31. And all Israel called his name Shemaiah, son of Netanel. For they said, in his days Yah has heard their cries and rescued them from their oppressors. Verse 32. And Moshe was in Parao's house and was unto Batia, Parao's daughter, as a son. And Moshe grew up amongst the king's children. So he had a royal upbringing. He was in the house of Parao because of the daughter that happened to want that child. She wanted the baby, and there he was. So they played fast and loose with a lot of these names, and I'm letting you know that. I'm not trying to hide anything. That they played games even with this book. So it's very hard to find something that they have not tampered with. Whether these were Babylonian rabbis or whatever, somebody messed with this one section of chapter 68. Coffee, yes. Let's go to chapter 69. This is a little short chapter. Here we go back to Edom, verse 1. And the king of Edom died in those days in the 18th year of his reign, and was buried in his temple, which he had built for himself as his royal residence in the land of Edom. Verse 2. And the children of Esau sent to Pethor, which is upon the river, and they fetched from there a young man of beautiful eyes and comely aspect, whose name was Shaul. And they made him king over them in the place of Samlah, because they would bring strangers in, so they didn't want any one of their people over them. They wanted a stranger. For some weird reason, I don't know. And Shaul reigned over all the children of Esau in the land of Edom for 40 years. Verse 4. And when Parao, king of Mitzrayim, saw that the counsel which Balaam had advised respecting the children of Israel did not succeed, but that still they were fruitful, multiplied, and increased throughout the land of Mitzrayim. Verse 5. Then Parao commanded in those days that a proclamation should be issued throughout Mitzrayim to the children of Israel, saying, no man shall diminish anything of his daily labor. Verse 6, and the man who shall be found deficient in his labor which he performs daily, whether in mortar or in bricks, then his youngest son shall be put in their place. Verse 7, and the labor of Mitzrayim strengthened upon the children of Israel in those days, and behold, if one brick was deficient in any man's daily labor, because they had a quota, okay, then Mitzrayim took his youngest boy by force from his mother and put him into the building in the place of the brick where his father had left wanting. They built the children into the building and left them in there to die. They covered them up with bricks. They were killing the children like that. They didn't make them do building. They took the little baby, stuck it in the wall, and built a brick wall around the baby, and the baby was interred in that wall. That's what they were doing. They were killing the children like that. Verse 8. And the men of Mitzrayim did so to all the children of Israel day by day, all the days for a long period. Whew, these people were wicked. That's like the abortion industry today, aborting all the white babies. Verse 9, but the tribe of Lewi did not at that time work with the Israelites, their brethren, from the beginning, for the children of Lewi knew the cunning of the Mitzrayim which they exercised at first toward the Israelites. And that ends Chapter 69. Now we go to chapter 70 of the book of Yashar. And this has 51 verses, so we're going to have to push it a little. Let me get a little hit of coffee here. Verse 1 of chapter 70. And in the third year from the birth of Moshe, Parao was sitting at a banquet when Alparanith, the queen, was sitting at his right and Bathya at his left. And the lad Moshe was lying upon her bosom. And Balaam, the son of Beor, with his two sons, and all the princes of the kingdom were sitting at table in the king's presence. So the king's daughter was sitting right next to the king. Listen to this. And the lad stretched forth his hand upon the king's head and took the crown from the king's head and placed it on his own head. And when the king and princes saw the work which the boy had done, the king and princes were terrified, and one man to his neighbor expressed astonishment. Verse 4. And the king said unto the princes who were before him at the table, what speak you and what say you, O ye princes, in this matter? And what is to be judgment against the boy on account of this act? mean, a little bitty boy reached out and took the king's crown. Verse 5, and Balaam, the son of Beor, the magician, okay, he was a magician. He was a sorcerer, a wicked man, answered before the king and princes, and he said, remember now, O my lord and king, the dream which you did dream many days since, and that which your servant interpreted unto you. Verse 6. Now therefore, this is a child from the Hebrew children, in whom is the spirit of Yah. And let not my lord the king imagine that this youngster did this thing without knowledge. Verse 7, for he is a Hebrew boy, and wisdom and understanding are with him, although he is yet a child. And with wisdom has he done this, and chosen unto himself the kingdom of Mitzrayim. Verse 8, for this is the manner of all the Hebrews, to deceive kings and their nobles, to do all these things cunningly, in order to make the kings of the earth and their men tremble. Verse 9, surely you know that Abraham their father acted thus, who deceived the army of Nimrod, king of Babel, and Abimelech, king of Gerar, and that he possessed of the land of the children of Heth and all the kingdoms of Canaan. Verse 10. And that he descended into Mitzrayim and said of Sarah, his wife, she is my sister, in order to mislead Mitzrayim and her king. He's giving him a history lesson. That's what he's doing. Verse 11. His son Yitzchak also did so when he went to Gerar and dwelt there, and his strength prevailed over the army of Abimelech, king of the Pelishtim. That's Philistines. Verse 12. He also thought of making the kingdom of the Pelishtim stumble in saying that Rebekah, his wife, was his sister. Now he's given a skewed viewpoint here, because he's the enemy of Israel. Verse 13. Jacob also dealt treacherously with his brother and took from his hand his birthright and his blessing. Verse 14. He went then to Padan Aram, to the house of Laban, his mother's brother, and cunningly obtained from him his daughter, his cattle, and all belonging to him, and fled away and returned to the land of Canaan to his father. Now that's not so. Yahweh engineered all of that. But he's given the opposite viewpoint. Verse 15. His sons sold their brother Yosef, who went down into Mitzrayim, became a slave, and was placed in the prison house for 12 years. Verse 16. Until the former Pharaoh dreamed dreams and withdrew him from the prison house and magnified him above all the princes in Mitzrayim on account of his interpreting his dreams to him. Now he's going to get down to brass tacks here. Verse 17, and when Yah, he's using the holy name, and when Yah caused a famine, throughout the land he sent for and brought his father and all his brothers and the whole of his father's household, and supported them without price or reward, and bought the Mitzrayim for slaves. But he did that for Pharaoh, so not for himself. Verse 18. Now therefore, my lord king, behold, this child has risen up in their stead in Mitzrayim to do according to their deeds and to trifle with every king, prince, and judge. Now listen to this. This is Balaam, who's later on going to be an enemy of Israel and will eventually get killed in a battle. Verse 19. If it please the king, let us now spill his blood upon the ground, lest he grow up and take away the government from your hand, and the hope of Mitzrayim perish after he shall have reigned. Verse 20. And Balaam said to the king, let us moreover call for all the judges of Mitzrayim and the wise men of it, and let us know if the judgment of death is due to this boy, as you did say, and then we will slay him. Verse 21. And Pharaoh sent and called for all the wise men of Mitzrayim, and they came before the king, and an angel of Yahweh, that is a messenger of Yahweh, came among them. And he was like one of the wise men of Mitzrayim. Okay, that's a messenger, a divine messenger that appeared like one of the Mitzrayim. Verse 22, and the king said to the wise men, surely you have heard what this Hebrew boy who was in the house has done. And thus has Balaam judged in the matter. Verse 23, now judge you also and see what is due to the boy for the act which he has committed. Okay. Verse 24. And the messenger or angel, who seemed like one of the wise men of Pharaoh, answered and said as follows, before all the wise men of Mitzrayim, and before the king and his princes, if it please the king, let the king send for men who shall bring before him an onyx stone and a coal of fire, and place them before the child, and if the child shall stretch forth his hand and take the onyx stone, then shall we know that with wisdom has the youth done all that he has done, and we shall slay him. Verse 26, but if he stretch forth his hand upon the coal, then shall we know that it was not with knowledge that he did this thing, and he shall live. In other words, it was just a childish thing. He reached out for something shiny, and he took the crown. Little kids do that. They reach for stuff. Verse 27. And the thing seemed good in the eyes of the king and the princes, so the king did according to the word of the messenger of Yahweh. Verse 28, and the king ordered the onyx stone and coal to be brought and placed before Moshe. And they placed the boy before them, and the lad endeavored to stretch forth his hand to the onyx stone. But the messenger of Yahweh took his hand and placed it upon the coal. And the coal became extinguished in his hand, and he lifted it up and put it into his mouth, and burned part of his lips and part of his tongue. And he became heavy in mouth and tongue. In other words, he had a speech impediment from that time. Verse 30. And when the king and princes saw this, they knew that Moshe had not acted with wisdom in taking off the crown from the king's head. Now, this messenger didn't reach out his hand to do this. He just sort of did his divine thing and moved the boy's hand over to the coal just by force of will. Verse 31. So the king and princes refrained from slaying the child. So Moshe remained in Pharaoh's house growing up, and Yahweh was with him. Verse 32. And while the boy was in the king's house, he was robed in purple, and he grew amongst the children of the king. Verse 33. And when Moshe grew up in the king's house, Batia, the daughter of Pharaoh, considered him as a son, and all the household of Pharaoh honored him, and all the men of Mitzrayim were afraid of him. Little coffee there. He had royal status, so of course they were afraid of him. Verse 34, and he daily went forth and came into the land of Goshen, where his brethren, the children of Israel, were. And Moshe saw them daily in shortness of breath and hard labor. Verse 35, and Moshe asked them, saying, wherefore or why is this labor meted out unto you day by day? Verse 36. And they told him all that had befallen them and all the injunctions which Pharaoh had put upon them before his birth. Verse 37. And they told him all the counsels which Balaam the son of Beor had counseled against them, and what he had also counseled against him in order to slay him when he had taken the king's crown from off his head. Verse 38. And when Moshe heard these things, his anger was kindled against Balaam, and he sought to kill him, and he was in ambush for him day by day. Verse 39. And Balaam was afraid of Moshe. I guess he was. And he and his two sons rose up and went forth from Egypt, and they fled and delivered their souls and betook themselves to the land of Cush, to Kikianus, king of Cush. Verse 40. And Moshe was in the king's house, going out and coming in. Yahweh gave him favor in the eyes of Pharaoh, and in the eyes of all his servants, and in the eyes of all the people of Mitzrayim, and they loved Moshe exceedingly. Verse 41. And the day arrived when Moshe went to Goshen to see his brethren, that he saw the children of Israel in their burdens and hard labor, and Moshe was grieved on their account. Verse 42. And Moshe returned to Mitzrayim and came to the house of Pharaoh and came before the king. And Moshe bowed down before the king. Verse 43. And Moshe said unto Pharaoh, I pray thee, my lord, I have come to seek a small request from you. Turn not away my face empty. In other words, please listen to me. And Pharaoh said unto him, speak. Verse 44. And Moshe said unto Pharaoh, let there be given unto thy servants, the children of Israel, who are in Goshen, one day to rest therein from their labor. Okay, one day to rest. Verse 45. And the king answered Moshe and said, behold, I have lifted up thy face in this thing to grant your request. So that was going to be like a Shabbat day, day of cessation of work. Verse 46. And Pharaoh ordered a proclamation to be issued throughout Mitzrayim and Goshen, saying, to you, this is verse 47, to you, all the children of Israel, thus says the king, for 6 days you shall do your work and labor, but on the seventh day you shall rest and shall not perform any work. Thus shall you do all the days, as the king and Moshe the son of Batya have commanded. Okay. That could be the predecessor to the Shabbat day. Think about that. Verse 48. And Moshe rejoiced at this thing which the king had granted to him, and all the children of Israel did as Moshe ordered them. Now here's verse 49. For this thing was from Yahweh to the children of Israel. For Yahweh had begun to remember the children of Israel to save them for the sake of their forefathers. Verse 50. And Yahweh was with Moshe, and his fame went throughout Mitzrayim. Verse 51. And Moshe became great in the eyes of all the Mitzrayim and in the eyes of all the children of Israel, seeking good for his people Israel and speaking words of peace regarding them to the king. In other words, he became as a lobbyist for Israel to the king of Egypt. And that ends chapter 70. Now we're going to pick up with chapter 71 on Wednesday. I cannot do this whole chapter, and I don't like to get in the middle of something and then have to stop. I've had to do that with some really long chapters. But I'm going to try to refrain from that with these teachings. So we're going to pick up with 71 on Wednesday the 21st. Now what I'm going to be doing, we've got Passover and the Feast of Unleavened Bread coming up the first part of next month. I'm going to pre-record ahead of schedule and get stuff in the server lined up, because I'm going to be gone. I observe the feasts. Okay, I can only lead by example. I keep the appointed feast. I keep Passover and I keep the Feast of Unleavened Bread. I will be with our congregation at the site where we're going to have the feast and unleavened bread, etc., etc. And I will be observing that with my fellow Israelites. I urge you to do that, even if you do it at your home. You don't have to leave home to do Passover. We do so we can assemble a whole big bunch of people and have a good time. Okay? It's a party. Eli's going to be there and some of the others. And we'll see what we see. Then we do Sukkot, the Feast of Tabernacles, in the fall. We keep both feasts. And we camp out. Well, I'll camp out this time too. But then I have a great big tent and I have a cot and sleeping bags. And it doesn't matter if it's cold. I mean, we just had a massive snow here yesterday, and it's all melting now. It's going as fast as it came, so we're doing all right. I'd like to remind everybody as we're coming down into these last days, we're watching the adversary and his minions oppress us. It is so very important that we be observant of the commands that Yahweh has given us. So, observe these feasts, people, please, for your benefit, for Yahweh's blessing. I ask you, please, keep these feasts and pray for deliverance from these evil ones that we are saddled with right now. The children of the devil are assailing us all over. We're being killed in larger numbers than ever before. The little babies, street assaults, organized assaults by Antifa and some of these other devils. We need to be very, very careful at this time. So I got about less than 6 minutes here, so I'm going to play a little music and sign off, and I will catch you on Wednesday. The Sabbath day changes from Tuesday this week, and the Sabbath begins on Wednesday There's a day change due to the calendar. So Wednesday will be the Sabbath instead of Tuesday. It's very confusing. Unless you got one of our solar calendars, and you can get that through EFR. May Yahweh bless and keep you, and praise Yahweh in all things. I'm gonna get out of here, and thank you for listening.
I'm not walking with the Lord like I used to. It's like temptation's got a hold of me. Then I cry at night 'cause I ought to. And the praise to Him I hold, I'm on my bended knee. From the road I chose to raise my family. And the more I learned forgiveness, the less I saw grief. And the more I watched His children in their eyes, I saw His light. Thank you, Lord, for the blessings. Thank you for the ride. Well, I want to walk with you. Take my hand, amen. Hold it tight. I've never crossed this line. With the good Lord willing, I'll walk that peaceful stride. Get on up, hold on, enjoy the ride. I did my time, I paid some heavy dues. And I often wonder why I did the things I do. For the Lord holds all the answers to my questions, come what may. We're gonna talk about Him soon, show me the way. Well, I wanna walk with you, take my hand, amen. Hold it tight, I've never crossed this line. With the good Lord willing, I'll walk that peaceful stride. Get on up, hold on, enjoy the ride. Well, now the final curtain will be seen. Now it's time to say goodbye to this way of life I've been. So bury me in the cold hard ground, I'll travel through the sky. Thank you, Lord, for the blessings, thank you for the ride. Well, I wanna walk with you, take my hand, amen. Hold it tight, I've never crossed this line. With the good Lord willing, I'll walk that peaceful stride. Get on up, hold on, enjoy the ride. With the good Lord willing, I'll walk that peaceful stride. Get on up, hold on, enjoy the ride. Get on up, hold on, I'll walk.
You're listening to EuroFolkRadio.com, a voice for European people worldwide.